Log Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat as I heard him ask we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what vows and falls that we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Crazy man, you sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Yes, I should.
I'm here with my co-host Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing this fine Thursday evening?
Oh man, you know, doing good. I'm sitting here in a hotel room while they work on my truck at the shop next door, and I'm getting ready for the weekend here. My wife and I are going to be celebrating our sixth wedding anniversary. The anniversary is Saturday, and so we're going to a resort, but it's a redneck resort, and that's a fancy way of saying we're going to a campground.
Hey, teach their own, man. That's what makes you happy, then make it happy. That's good.
But they have a pool,
so
it's all good. So,
yeah, that's good. Well, congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
Man, I tell you, I got called in for jury duty again. Last time was in April. I had to give back $7,500 in revenue just to make it home, to make sure I was there to report. And I called the night before just to make sure, and they canceled it. So I'm up $7,500 in revenue. That was a big hit to me financially. And then I got called again this week, my last week on, and I got called in. And, we got in there, and I didn't know what it was about, you know, what the charges were, who the person was, any of that. Well, they said, you're going to be a juror for a person that is accused of selling methamphetamines. And right away, that struck a nerve with me because I have no tolerance for that. Reason why is because, I'll just tell you what the story was here. So we get into the courtroom and they start asking questions, and they asked if anybody feels like they might not be impartial, you know, to be a jury or juror. And I raised my hand and I said, I have a real problem with this. And why is that? I said, because one of my stimulus checks were stolen from me out of my mailbox from a person that was said to have been a meth head. That's what I'll call them. And I said, secondly, I've had numerous friends that got trapped into that whole addiction of meth, family members. I've seen their deception. I've seen that they don't want to take responsibility for their actions because they're chasing that drug. And I said, I have a really hard time having any tolerance with people like that. And I said, I'm under oath, and I'm going to tell you the truth how I feel about it. I would hope that I would be impartial, but I don't know if I can be. And they started calling out the jurors that got picked. You know, we went through a whole process there of questions, and, you know, they asked numerous questions. And then they named off the people that had to stay for jury that they chose. And my name was not on that list, obviously. The ones that didn't get picked, we left the courtroom, and the judge on our way out said, you're welcome to stay and observe the case if you'd like. And I'm like, no, I don't. You already wasted enough of my fucking time with this guy. Nobody's going to pay me back the money that this guy has caused me now. And furthermore, the case before that that cost me $7,500, I'm wasting my time for these they're lowlifes. I don't give a shit. If people don't like me calling them that, older family, and you know what? We all have responsibility and jobs to do. And you know damn well that guy got busted for selling meth to somebody, probably an undercover, and he doesn't want to take responsibility for it. He thinks I was set up. Well, either way, you were selling dope, so fuck off. So that's my experience anyway. And, I sound a little angry about it because I am. I've lost over $10,000 because of people that don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. You know what? Plea bargain? I don't care what you got to do, but take responsibility. Well, I don't want to go to jail. Well, then don't do drugs, kids. Jesus, we've been hearing that since the fucking 1980s, but you guys still do drugs. Yeah, so anyway.
He wasn't on trial for doing drugs. He was on trial for allegedly dealing drugs. And he might have been.
Right.
No.
What's that?
I said, no, you don't want to hear that right now.
No. No, I'm just irritated about it because the people that are – and the poor juries or jurors that I reported with, they cramped us up into a hot freaking room. I was sweating like a stuck pig. To go through a little video and then we all marched into the courtroom. It was a little cooler in there, but it was funny because one of the retired judge's wives was actually picked as a juror. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty sweet. I don't know. I've gotten in trouble before when I was younger. I've made stupid mistakes, but I didn't try to get out of it by wasting other people's time. I knew I was guilty. I don't want to go to jail either, but we talked to the prosecutor and they come up with a fair plea agreement where I pled guilty, spent a little time behind bars and took responsibility for my actions, which seems to be not so common anymore. Everybody thinks I should be not guilty because of this. The fact of the matter is, were you selling dope or were you not? My guess, according to court records, which I looked up later, I'm going to guess that he probably was in his first rodeo. But now he's wasting other people's time that have to take off of work to come and listen to his case from his defense attorney. You know, there's a lot of cases that go through our court systems where somebody is legit not guilty and they take it to trial. And or there was some kind of technicality or whatever, what have you, where they were trapped, you know, and this could have been a case where they were entrapped, but it still involves methamphetamines. I just got a problem with that. I don't know. Am I wrong, Chris? I mean, you're former law enforcement. You've witnessed a bunch of this stuff.
Well, so if he actually has a defense attorney, I don't know if he's got a defense attorney or a public defender. If there's not some sort of set of circumstances that might lead a jury to find them not guilty, usually defense attorneys will be like, no, dude, don't go before a jury. You're going to make the jury mad. They're all losing money to be here. And yeah, they're going to find you guilty right away. So usually the only time a defense attorney will advise a client to go to a jury trial is if they have a honest belief that a jury is actually going to side with them over law enforcement. So
right.
That, of course, begs the question of what exactly were the circumstances. And, you know, these days, I don't know, law enforcement's kind of out of control and out of touch, in my opinion. So who knows what the circumstances were, or if he just absolutely insisted on having a jury trial against the advice of his attorney, who knows? But yet, you know, we'll never know those details. But but even if it's like a case of a technicality, you know, even if the guy is out there selling meth to people, ultimately you gotta be able to say, okay, well, if the police officers somehow violated constitutional rights, they did some sort of unlawful search or misstepped in some legal fashion, whether it was deliberate or by mistake, you still got to hold that line. You have to hold that line that law enforcement has to be held accountable if they are not doing things correctly. So don't look at it as a waste of time, because essentially even if it's over a technicality of how the investigation was conducted, you know, you're doing your part to hear out, you know, what the argument is.
You I'm know, more pissed you, off you that hold the that first one. Time I was called in to the jury duty, I had to give up all that those loads. I get back home. I'm off of work for the rest of the week because it's not as simple as saying, okay, they got canceled, so give me a load now. Because you plan your stuff out a week ahead of time. That's how it works in the trucking industry. So I was more pissed off that the first time I got called, like, dude, you guys brought me all the way home to tell me that they canceled the jury trial because he plea bargained or whatever. That's wasting my time. They have to figure out a better system to come up with to pick the potential jurors. And folks like myself that own their own truck, we cannot afford to just pick up and come home 2 days before you decide you're going to have a jury trial. It's got to be at least a two-week notice. You know what I mean? I tried to explain that to the lady that was in charge of the jury, and she didn't care. She didn't want to listen to it. And I'm just like, lady, you're not understanding what I'm saying.
Worried about it. She has a nice paycheck. Right. She gets a nice paycheck every week that's provided by the taxpayers, people like you and I who actually go out here and fucking work and make the economy run. They just skim off the top of us. So why should they care if we're inconvenienced? Their money's coming.
Exactly. No, I got a really bad taste in my mouth, and it just goes to show you that our system is a lot more broken than what we even realize it is, because the policies put in place by people that have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. Excuse me, I'm dropping the F-bomb a lot tonight because I'm just really upset. But, yeah, so that's my experience with that. And then it come down to, again, a case with them, you know, somebody involved with meth, and it's pretty prevalent around this area. And as far as I'm concerned, with these people, they're not going to learn unless you lock them up for 10 years and throw away the key. They just don't want to learn. I read the jail roster, and I seen one of our old neighbors is back in jail, and what, 50 grams of meth? She got charged with dealing, and she is out within 6 months to a year every single time, which only tells me that she's a narc. She has to be, or she's, I don't know, but she's in and out of jail. She has been for a very long time. She got her life, like she cleaned up for a while, was going to college, was doing well, was normal, and right back to the same shit. And it's just, what a drain on our society. Like, I have,
you know,
one of my
what?
Best friends.
There's money in it. There's money in that. So here's the thing, and here's what a lot of people don't realize. So when judges run for election, typically the judges that win these elections, these local races, they usually are the ones who have the endorsement of the local bar attorney or the local bar association, okay? Now, these bar associations, they kind of set forth a criteria where they like to see, they call it a lot of leniency and, you know, second chances given and whatever, blah, blah, blah. They make it sound like, you know, they're all for the good of people. In reality, what they do, and these judges will try to call these cases so that their rulings fall within the percentages that these bar associations want, okay? And what's going on there, most of the bar association is made up of, surprise, criminal defense attorneys. There's a lot of money in criminal defense. So can you think of any financial motive that a bunch of defense attorneys might have for constantly releasing habitual criminals back onto the street? They don't want them to be corrected. They don't want them to change their behavior. They don't want them to stop committing crimes. They want judges out there that will keep throwing their repeat customers back out onto the street to offend again. Because a lot of times with a lot of these people, they'll have 3, 4, 5 different cases pending at one time. And the judges, you know, keep throwing them back out there and keep throwing them back out there. And as long as they keep throwing these habitual offenders back out on the street to commit more crimes, guess who's walking back into the defense attorney's office with another check for a retainer fee every 4 to 6 weeks? They're making a kill. Everything in our system, our entire court system, is nothing but a racket. It is a money-making system.
Everything is.
Yeah. Yeah, I could talk for hours.
It's completely ridiculous. No, you're right, man. It's absolutely ridiculous. So our whole system, we have allowed these government officials from your local school board all the way up to your top federal, all the way to the President of the United States, to get by with being corrupt. And they don't give a flying F about you or me or anybody else. All they give a shit about is making sure that their corrupt little racketeering scheme continues on moving forward, which leads us right into what I wanted to talk to tonight about Sleepy Joe Biden. And I'm going to start calling him that because he's not there. Now I understand why Trump called him that. And I used to think that's kind of mean, Trump, you know, just lay off the rhetoric a little bit. But looking back at everything that Trump was, you know, talking about and some of the rude comments he made toward media, I look back at all of that now, and he was being nice. Because if I was Trump in his position, the way these people handled themselves, the way how corrupt this system is, I don't think I would have been as nice. Well, you heard me on the radio show. I drop F-bombs when I get mad, and I'm pretty sure I would have dropped F-bombs. These people are crazy. They're what do I want to say? Society's scum. That's what they are. And they got chosen to run, rule us, basically, at this point. They're not governing us. They're ruling us. So Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, it comes out today that breaking news, Sleepy Joe's got COVID. He tested positive. He's got mild symptoms. Okay, this is a guy that had not one shot, not one vaccination, not two vaccinations. He got one vaccination, then he got two vaccinations, then he got a booster shot, and then he got a fourth booster shot. When the hell are people going to wake up to the scam that they are perpetuating on the American people, and not even American people, Canadians, worldwide? When are people going to – when? I'm just disgusted. You know, they started – you know, the whole fear-mongering with the media – the whole gaslighting with the media. Every single day, Joe Biden was getting on there. No matter what it was, you need to get vaccinated. I seen where they were talking about a hurricane going to hit Louisiana or Florida or somewhere. And he says, your best defense when a hurricane's going to hit is to get vaccinated. And I thought to myself, are people really buying this bullshit? Like, that was one of my first red flags, like how hard they pushed it. And I'm like, this is bullshit, man. These people are being paid off to push this, and they're doing whatever they can, whatever powers they have to get this, keep on moving. They don't care whose lives they destroy or they kill, because that's what's happening. We're going to get to that here in a little second. It's called sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. It has been around for years, but it's a lot more prevalent today, and we're going to tell you why. But these criminals, and I mark it up to the big pharmaceutical companies are our cabal. Our government's in on it. Our pharmaceutical companies are in on it. What way to have job security? What's a good way? Is to ensure that people are sick, that they have to take your product. And they're pushing, they're selling their message to the government at mass numbers. And you wouldn't believe the amount of money that they're giving to these politicians and top scientists. Remember, top scientists, world-renowned scientists, world doctors, anybody that is funded by the United States government or any government or takes any special interest money is somebody that I do not want to hear their opinion. I don't want nothing that comes out of their mouth I'm not listening to, because they're compromised. And that's the truth, folks. And if you don't believe me, you can start really digging into this shit, and it's gonna disturb you. Anthony Fauci was questioned by Rand Paul, and I almost called him Rand McNally. That's my trucker in me. But he got questioned by Rand Paul about the special interest money. And he said, who has been getting kickbacks from basically Big Pharma, from the pharmaceutical companies? He said, we legally do not have to disclose that. So there you go. Bingo bango. These pieces of shit need to be taken off this planet, in my opinion. They're horrible, horrible, horrible people. And if you get too deep into standing up against them, you go on the back of a milk carton. Let's just put it that way. Fortunately for me, I've gotten close enough where they just ban me on social media because they know I don't have enough money and power to go above just social media. And that's fine. I'll just keep on spreading the message that I spread. So basically my point is okay, so Sleepy Joe gets COVID after four shots. Mild symptoms, they say. Does anybody question these PCR tests? Are they testing for the flu or a common cold, and they're made to just be positive for COVID? Did they change the name of the common flu to COVID? I mean, just a question I have. I don't know, Chris. What do you think? Do you think I'm onto something there? I don't know. I'm just a guy.
If I recall correctly, a few months ago, the CDC actually came out and stated something to the effect of the PCR test does not distinguish between COVID and influenza, which would explain why there was such a sharp decline in the number of influenza cases in 2020, because all of a sudden they were all being classified as COVID. And I'm sorry if you can hear that horn in the background. Somebody's car alarm is going off out in the parking lot. But yeah, I recall that being a pretty big deal several months ago when they came out and said that. And again, when you realize that, okay, if that's true, then you can probably, you know, cut the COVID case count, you know, in half. And then, of course, there was before they even had the test out in mass numbers, you might recall they were counting COVID cases based on what they call probable cases. And a lot of those were literally people talking to their doctor over the phone and saying, well, you know, I'm running a little bit of a fever and I have a cough. Well, you've probably got COVID. And then, you know, they say stay home for 14 days, and then they do up their paperwork, and then they report it to the local health department. Oh, what? Yeah, we got another positive COVID case. But no, they weren't actually tested. So there was a lot of that going on as well. But, I mean, you know, all the information is out there. They've pretty much revealed that the numbers are skewed dramatically. I just heard a little bit more about that today. I forget what the exact percentage was. It was something really high. It was something like 80% or something involved combinations of at least four other comorbidities. And in most cases, basically, yeah, they tested positive for COVID, you know, but they were already in stage four cancer. And when they died of cancer, because they tested positive for COVID, it was listed as a COVID death, even though, you know, COVID really had nothing to do with the actual.
And they got paid for that diagnosis.
Yes, they were getting some, I want to say it was a 20% additional payout for Medicaid every time they listed COVID. So yeah, there was definitely a financial incentive for the doctors to list COVID. So but yeah, I mean we've been over this and over this, but I feel like it, not so much on the COVID front. I mean, some of that has been coming down, but as more and more of this stuff around the world is starting to get revealed and a lot of the corruption, I feel like the truth is starting to get out. The cards are starting to fall. You know, the house of cards is coming down. And a lot of these people, these leaders around the world, they're starting to panic. So get ready for just distraction after distraction after distraction to keep people from talking about anything and everything other than their corruption, because that's kind of where we are right now. But this is when you're dealing with authoritarian figures, this is where it's the most tense. This is where it gets scary, because they'll play nice and they'll tell these lies, and they'll play nice as long as you're going along with their demands. But as soon as you start calling them out and as soon as you stop complying with their demands and they get backed into a corner where they're about to be exposed and they're about to lose power, and I don't care if you're talking about one abusive person in a relationship at home or if you're talking about someone who runs a whole damn country. When those people, those manipulative type controlling people, as soon as they're backed into a corner and being called out on their lies, and it's no longer, they can no longer rely on the illusion to get you to do what they want, that is when their claws come out. And at that point, they will do whatever damage they have to do to maintain or try to maintain control. And that's where we are right now, I feel like. And I'm nervous. I'm like, okay, what the hell links are these tyrants, like Trudeau, for example, what links are they willing to go to maintain their power now that the cat's out of the bag, now that everybody's starting to see them for what they really are? What are they going to do? Because it's not like they're going to hang their head in shame and say, all right, guys, you're right. I lied about all that, and I'm really just addicted to power, and I'm just going to quietly step down now and let this country go back to normal. That's not going to happen. That's a pipe dream. So
yeah.
What are they going to do?
It's funny that you brought that up, though, Chris, because I just read an article today. Where the hell did I read it at? It doesn't matter. I'll just tell you what the article said. I'll paraphrase it. That the CDC top government officials in the Biden cabinet, including Dr. Fauci, have, and five of the major big tech companies, Facebook, I don't know if it was Facebook, but I'm assuming it was. So don't take that as the gospel. But five big tech companies have 30 days to respond to a lawsuit filed against all of them that states that the government and big tech colluded to hide the truth by basically saying that stuff that I've been posting or people like you've been posting, which is why, you know, I got kicked off of Facebook the first time, and TikTok, the reason I got kicked off is because they said I was spreading misinformation under the guise of misinformation is what they said, that the government and big tech colluded to hide the truth. And a judge allowed that to go through. So they have 30 days to respond to that. So if you don't think that the government and big tech right now are scrambling, think again, because they are. But like Chris said, be very, very aware of the next distraction, because it's coming. You can bet your bottom dollar it is. There's something big going to come, and it's going to be a major distraction of what's really going on. Now, I sent a link
to... Do you know what happened? I'm sorry to interrupt, Jared. Do you know what happened before? You know what happened right before Roe versus Wade got overturned?
No.
Pfizer released another 80,000 pages.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I knew that,
yeah.
I guess, but...
Right.
My mind has been so scrambled because
exactly.
it's a constant release of information, and it's like, how the hell do you keep up with that? And that's what they want.
But
they
nobody,
want guys like me
nobody's talking. Yeah, nobody's talking about the very damning evidence that was in those 80,000 pages, because everybody's talking about abortion. So how big of a thing is it we're trying to hide? If they're willing to go in and overturn 50 years worth of legal precedent to distract us away from what they don't want us to see, I think that is why it got overturned more than anything. But that's just my two cents.
No, I agree with you. I don't think you're wrong, Chris. Not to mention that Pfizer asked... They had a court hearing where they asked the judge where they wanted to suppress the release of the information for 75 years. Why is that? Because we're all going to be dead by then, and then it doesn't matter. They got away with what they wanted to get away with here on Earth to make their greedy-ass, fat-ass pockets full, and they didn't give a shit about your family. Which leads us right into... the adult, or the, what is it, SADS, the sudden adult death syndrome. Everybody's heard of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and now we have SADS, which you may have seen an article here or there about it in the past, but it hasn't been prevalent because it was very, very rare. Well, now all of a sudden we're seeing adolescents and young people die in their sleep for no apparent reason.
And when you go to the fact checkers, every single one of them, of the mainstream media fact checkers, calls it false information or misinformation. Surprise, surprise, here we are. Now we know why there's a court hearing going on. These son of a bitches have been suppressing information that is provable that they, that I'll just read you one article. There's an incurable fatal degenerative brain disorder that the COVID vaccines are linked to. The study suggests a link between a rapidly progressing incurable and fatal prion disease known as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and COVID-19 vaccines. Studies suggest the link between the incurable and fatal prion disease known as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and COVID-19 vaccines. Researchers believe that the prion region from the original Wuhan COVID-19 variant spike protein was incorporated into the mRNA vaccines. And forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, adenovirus vector vaccines given to hundreds of millions of humans, and that it can cause a new type of rapidly progressing sporadic CJD. CJD. That's what we'll call it, CJD. According to the Mayo Clinic, CJD is a degenerative brain disorder that leads to dementia and ultimately death. I'm not going to go through the whole article. I think you get the gist of it. I'm going to scroll down just a little bit, and I'm going to let you in on some stories that I read about this CJD and how horrible this is. It's despicable. It's sickening. And it just, every time I read more of these stories, it pisses me off even more, because at one time I was warning people about these vaccines. And I literally had people say, shut the fuck up, you're a dumb truck driver. That's what they said to me. I literally had a person say that to me. Why should I listen to me? You're just a dumb fucking truck driver. And I thought to myself, wow, boy, are you going to be sorry in the very near future, because I have been studying this and reading on this for the last 2 years, before Trump was even out, when vaccines were even a thing, or before the vaccines were even a thing. And it first started when I found an article from a study done in the Congo on remdesivir. Remdesivir was the medicine, the official medicine that they used for people in hospitals during this pandemic and throughout the whole process. In that study, I believe it was right around 30% of the people that it was administered to died of kidney failure or other major organ failure. 30%. They knew it was dangerous. They knew it was killing people, but they still did it anyway. Which, if you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, when your numbers are inflated, you can keep that Emergency Powers Act into place because, hey, the numbers are there, right? You look and say, oh, yeah, look at this. 900,000 people or 1 million people have died from, quote-unquote, COVID-19. COVID-19 didn't kill them. They died with COVID-19, a very, very high percentage of them. At least 28 to 30% of those died from being administered remdesivir. And we've talked about this, and I'm not going to get too far into that. You can look it up for yourself. And when you do look it up, make sure you check different search engines, because Google will lie, that they'll lie right to your face about it. And these fact checkers, every one of them need to be hung. In my opinion, when the day comes, the Nuremberg Trials 2.0, Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C., every fucking tree branch on that Constitution Avenue should have a body hanging from every fucking tree branch for what they've done to our country and what they've done to this world. That's my opinion. I'm not saying anybody should go do that or if that's a threat. I'm just saying that's what I hope to see, because they're dirty bastards is what they are. So, in this article that I was reading, And by the way, I'm reading this off of the Defender. It's Children's Health Defense, who actually stood with us for the People's Convoy. They know the truth, and they get silenced everywhere, and they get discredited everywhere. So in an exclusive interview with the Defender, Richard Sprague said his wife Jennifer developed CJD after the Pfizer COVID-19 shot and died within 5 months of the second dose. Jennifer received the first dose of Pfizer on August 29, 2021, and her second dose on September 21, 2021. Although her husband remained unvaccinated, Jennifer was required to get vaccinated as part of her employment. So I want to stop there for a second. August 2021 was her first dose, and her second dose was less than a month later. Okay, this is a vaccine that's supposed to save lives, right? Why the fuck do you need two of them within less than a month? Think, people. Come on. 4 days after the second dose, Jennifer experienced her first episode of a sudden strange event she couldn't explain. Jennifer started having more episodes, and her left hand and side began to tremble. On October 13, 2021, Jennifer went back to the hospital, who prescribes Xanax for anxiety. Okay? This is how freaking ridiculous this has gotten. October 13th, so it started off August 29th. By October 13th, she was already starting to get more pharmaceuticals for an unrelated problem. Let's just keep on feeding the machine, right? So Jennifer's disease progressed rapidly until she was unable to sit up and walk independently. Scans confirmed Jennifer had significant changes on the right side of her brain. A new medical team performed a spinal tap and confirmed Jennifer had CJD. By this time, Jennifer was unable to get out of bed. Quote, "Your brain is just disappearing. It's crazy," Sprague said. "You're in this perfect healthy body, and your brain just dies within the course of a few months?" After Jennifer was diagnosed with CJD on February 12th, her insurance company said it would no longer pay for her care, and Sprague was told his wife would not recover. Think about that. When they found out exactly what she had, oh, now the insurance companies say, well, we don't want no part of that. No. We know what this is from, but they won't admit it either, because they're a bunch of dirty son of a bitches too. Jennifer died on February 21st, 5 months after receiving her second dose of Pfizer. According to the latest data from VAERS, 56 cases of rapid onset CJD have been reported reported following COVID-19 vaccines since December 14th of 2021. 56 cases. Now listen to this number. Historically, VAERS has been shown to report only 1% of actual vaccine adverse side effect events. 1%. That means 5,600 people or more have died from CJD that we know about. How many died? They chalked it up to, they were a little bit older, they had brain, something with their brain, they died. I have my grandmother that is losing her memory very rapidly, and she was scared to leave her home because of the fear-mongering that these corrupt bastards did to her, and they did to the whole world. And people are that's just one side effect, ladies and gentlemen, one, 5,600 people. That's probably a very small number, 5,600. Now you have all the other side effects. Chris, I believe there was 9 to 12 pages of side effects that Pfizer released that they were required to release, and the mainstream media didn't touch one of them, myocarditis being one of them, something that I've been preaching about since day one. What are your thoughts about this, Chris? How do I even go on with a broadcast without just coming completely unglued and screaming at the top of my lungs to wake these people, these sleeping people up? How can I handle myself, Chris? Make it all make sense to me.
Okay, that's kind of a tall order. So you want me to make sense of the corrupt world to you on a radio show in the span of a few seconds? Gee, okay.
No, You got the got the floor, brother. You got the floor. Make it make sense.
Make it make sense. Okay. Well, you know, damn. I mean, people do not awaken quickly. We are a very complacent society. Okay. We've been here, especially here in the United States, where we're secured by oceans around us and a very, very strong economy and a very, very large and intimidating military. And, of course, a very, very well-armed citizenry. And so we've been exempt from a lot of the worries that people have in other parts of the world. We've not worried about being invaded on the mainland in you know, centuries. So we've fallen into this sense of complacency, right? We have this good system in, the system of checks and balances. Corrupt politicians got exposed. We had a media with the First Amendment, and the journalists would go out and they would do actual investigative journalism and they would expose corruption. And then we just kind of got complacent. We just started trusting that the system would work, that it would always keep corruption out of our system here. And we came to trust our media that they really did have the you know, what was best for the people at heart, and that they really did go out and do the right thing. And then the corporatocracy took over. Then these media conglomerates started buying up more and more local media. You don't have local media, by the way. You don't have a local TV news station. You don't have a local newspaper. What you have is a local branch of a media that's owned by one of these six major media conglomerate corporations. And they are given scripts of what to say. They have a little bit of leeway to go out and find a couple of local stories. But for the most part, you know, anything on the state or national level, especially anything political, they are given the scripts of how they're going to cover that, what they're going to say about it, what their talking point is. If you've never gone on like YouTube or Rumble and looked up Operation Mockingbird, look it up, where they show all these different TV news personalities reciting the exact same words from coast to coast as if it was something that they were just saying locally. But in reality, it was a national script that they were being given. So you have these media companies, and they're on the payroll of Big Pharma and a number of other entities. They've come in. They have now sold out to being a part of the propaganda. You've had some politicians that have gone in. You know, the 3,287 Fauci emails that got released a year ago or so, that actually showed that there was, in fact, that a lot of the censorship that was happening on social media was at the government's request, which, of course, does make it a First Amendment issue. It's one thing if a private social media company on its own says, you know what, we're just going to bar topics of, you know, bar the discussions of these certain topics to, in order not to create a frenzy, a bunch of chaos within our platform. But that's not what was happening. The government was skirting the Constitution by going and telling them. So here we've just allowed the greedy, wealthy elite to just completely usurp power and completely transform our culture by basically owning the rights to propagandize us at every corner. I mean, look at the 1980s. Remember insider trading in the 1980s and all of the stock traders, the common wealthy stock traders that were getting arrested because they got insider information before it was released publicly, and they would go out and they would either buy or sell, you know, a whole bunch of stocks that they were holding or wanted to hold based on information that they knew was either going to make that company go bankrupt or was going to make that company suddenly become wealthy. And they call that insider trading. And we used to send people to prison for that. And now it's just out there in your face. Everybody at Capitol Hill is directly involved in insider trading. It's like an accepted practice now. They go out. They have these committees. They buy up a whole, you know, they draw up all these legislations. And they know, okay, this legislation, when it's passed, it's going to make this company take off. Or it's going to make this company go belly up. And they go out and they either sell off all the stocks they have the day before they announce the contents of that bill, or they go out and they buy up a bunch of stock a day or two before they announce that legislation, you know, and then they get rich. I mean, this is how we have people going to Congress that are going in middle class and are now worth, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. Because they're sitting there doing this insider trading, and we just accept it. We accept that it's okay. We've gotten to the point we're so complacent, we trust the media still for whatever reason. I can't imagine who in their right mind is still trusting a damn thing the media says, but they're out there because we're still holding on to that old era where the media was trustworthy. That's it. We trust the media. We trust what our politicians are saying to us. We see the corruption, but we don't want to accept it, and we allow it to happen. And now look where we are. Now they're literally sitting here killing people off to make money, and we're just going along with it like, oh, you know, it's just politics. I don't get it, but, you know, it's not for me to decide. But there, you wanted me to go on a rant?
Chris, it's because of the Smith-Munt Modernization Act implemented under Obama, and we've talked about this numerous times also. We have literally given you the information that you can go and research for yourself, and we've said this numerous times on this radio show. Don't just take our word for it. When we lead you in a direction, quit being lazy and go look it up for yourselves. It's the Smith-Munt, M-U-N-D-T, Modernization Act. You go look it up for yourself, and you're going to find out why you're being fed propaganda, because they made it legal. That's why. They have made it legal for state-run propaganda to go through our media sources. And maybe that's what we need to do, Chris, is come up with our own publication called The Anti-Establishment, and just all we do is do stories about everything that the media calls a lie or misinformation, and do stories with credible witnesses or credible people that they can't do anything about it. It's just so sickening watching even people I know just, oh, I don't know nothing about that. And then you tell them, you know, what, you can go look it up. And the next time you talk to them, I couldn't find time. Oh, that's fucking fantastic. Fantastic. And it makes me think to myself, what the hell am I wasting my time for? Because these people just, they're clueless. It's like, well, I'm living okay. I'm still eating, so it doesn't really affect me. That the whole American's attitude of, it really doesn't affect me, bothers the shit out of me. Don't you care about the family in Iowa? Or this, the lady I just, for instance, the lady I was just talking about, her and her husband, she was required to get the jab because of her stupid-ass employment. Like many other nurses and healthcare workers and firemen and police officers and our military and federal workers, all those people were required to get something that had no long-term studies. And there's a lot of them that are permanently disabled because of that. And that permanently disabled number, I want to say on VAERS, it was right around 50,000 the last time I looked. And remember, 1% is reported to VAERS, which would mean that 500,000 people are permanently disabled because of this vaccine. Normal, healthy people.
I've seen video after video. I've talked to numerous people. Hell, when I was at the People's Convoy, a lady rolled up in her pickup truck. I went back to the back campgrounds, actually, and I happened to run into her. And she said, hey, do you know of anybody that's in charge here that, you know, that started this? That I said, well, I was actually one of the original organizers of this. I said, I know all of them. I said, what do you need? And at that point, she reached over beside her on the console of her pickup. And there sat an urn of her husband. Her husband died from being issued remdesivir. She had poster boards of the pictures that she took before, during, and after his treatment in the hospital. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. When I brought her up to the main arena or whatever you want to call it, the main track where everybody was at, and I got a hold of a few people to talk to her, I cried. Her story was touching, and that wasn't the first time I heard it, and it wasn't the last time I've heard it, and I guarantee it's not going to be the last time I've heard it. I've talked to numerous people on the phone, people from South Dakota that haven't seen their family for over 2 years because of the draconian measures that Justin Trudeau and our own government are allowing to happen on not being able to see your family members across the border. It's funny, Justin Trudeau can go over to Ukraine and have a frickin' powwow with that dumb shit over there and then fly back, and he's not required to quarantine for 2 weeks. You know, with these leaders, it's say as I do, not as, or say, how's that go, Chris? Say it, not as I do.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, I just got wrapped up in death being pissed off again. I guess I'm going to be just pissed off the whole podcast tonight. Why not? So, but that's what they do. They act like they're holier than thou, that they really do believe you are their slave. If you don't believe that, trust me. When you go to that ballot box and you vote, you really need to start doing more research on who you're voting for. This whole, I'm going to vote red, or I'm going to vote blue, or I'm going to vote, or you're wasting your vote if you vote for an independent or a libertarian. That's all perpetuated to you, onto you, by the corrupt system that we are living under right now today. They want you to vote for the two-party system because basically the two-party system are handpicked people running for the top office. And Senate races, Congress, they have safe zones is what I call them. They know that the Democrat or the Republican are going to get voted in no matter what. Now, if you start researching these Democrats and some of these Republicans, you find out that they are part of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders, that they went to whatever the hell they call that over in wherever they are. Oh, shit. My brain just got fried. These people are groomed. Justin Trudeau, Klaus Schwab bragged that he has over 50% or nearly 50% of the cabinet in Canadian's parliament under his control. And if you think it just stops in Canada, you are so dead wrong. The UK, Boris Johnson resigned. Numerous world leaders resigned in the last week or two. Australia, their leadership is compromised. New Zealand, Germany. There's so many. And I'm not trying to leave out the United States because even what do we have? 246 of our Congress people are listed as Democrats, but if you look a little bit more closely, they are associated with the Socialist Party, which is right up to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And all these people think, oh, yeah, good, now I'll get free health care. No, you won't. You people just don't fucking get it because you listen to that mainstream media. They lie to you. They lie to you so bad, and you just eat that shit right up. You may ask yourself, well, what makes you so damn smart? because I actually dig into shit and read. I research this stuff. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory, you say. Is it? How many times do we got to go through this where I tell you this is going to happen, and you call me a conspiracy theorist, and then it happens, and then you, oh, that's fake news. That's one thing I'm pissed off at Donald Trump about, is using that term fake news, because now the libtards are using it. And that's what I'm going to call them, libtards, because they're fucking blind. Anyway, I get off of my rants. I'm sorry. If you're listening on the internet and you want to call in because you have a story you want to share with us, or you want to add your opinion into this conversation, you are more than welcome to call in. Get a pen and paper out, and I'll give you the phone number. And when I give you the phone number, when you get through, just make sure you press the number 1. That puts your hand in the air. That lets me know that you want to get on air. And our producer, Kim, will get on privately with you and just ask you what your name is, and she'll decide whether or not it's something that can come on the air. 99.9% of the time, you're going to come on the air with us because I want to hear your opinion, whether you agree with me or disagree with me. That's how we work. Then we can have a conversation, and I can show you more information when you ask questions. There's so much information I have filed in the back of my head, it's not possible for me to share it with you all. So that guest call-in number is 516. It's 387-1733. Again, that is 516-387-1733. And again, when you get through, just make sure you press the number 1. That lets the switchboard know that you want to talk. You have something to say. We pride ourselves here on the Distance Fletcher Trucker Show, radio show, me and Chris, to take people's opinions that don't necessarily align with what ours are. They might be completely against it. We don't get a lot of those calls because they're too scared. And they don't be scared. All I ask is if you call in, you get on with us, that you keep it polite. Once you start going into the name calling or calling people stupid or you're a dumbass or you're a whatever, then we just, you know, the phone lines, miraculously, we lose connection. So that's where we're at on that. If you want to get in and make your voice heard, because this is what this show is about. We were graciously given this show by Unplugged Radio Network. He's a friend of mine. I've stood with him, you know, down in Hagerstown. He's a great guy. He called and asked, hey, you want to do a radio show? That's after I got banned off of all my social media apps. I said, hell, absolutely. It'd be nice to be able to get my message out there somehow, whatever it is I've been researching. Because after I got banned off of TikTok, which I'm about to get banned on there again, but there was, 100 and some thousand followers that I lost. A lot of my video, like my current account, I got one video on there that has 2.8 million views. That's me spreading the truth. And it blew people's minds, the information that I shared there. They had no idea. And a lot of people don't have no idea. It's sad. But that's why it's important for guys like me and Chris and whoever we're associated with to be able to get on the social media apps to share the truth out and let people make their own decision on whether or not it's something that is we need to worry about or is, you know, people will see some information and they'll do everything in their power, in their minds, to discredit that, to make them feel better so they don't have to worry about it. They'll find one article where a mainstream media fact checker said, oh, that's false, and that's where they stop. They don't even look any further than that because it makes them uncomfortable. While the information that is out there right now should make you uncomfortable, and it will make you uncomfortable, especially if you start digging down rabbit holes, you're going to find out shit that most of the stuff you've been told your whole life has been nothing but a lie. I mean, from the very time that you were born, the very time your mom and dad were born, and right on down the line, they've been running this scheme and this scam for freaking literally decades, if not over a century. It's not like the system became corrupt overnight. The system has been corrupt. But now, since they're starting to lose their power and the truth is getting out there, now you're seeing how exactly corrupt it is because they don't know what the hell to do anymore. They're getting called out. They don't have a plan. They went through plan A, B, C, and D. Your backup plans run out sooner or later. When people start realizing, holy shit, these people are corrupt, and you go back in history and you start digging in a little bit, you realize how absolutely corrupt the whole system has been, both parties. This isn't just a Republican or a Democrat thing. That really needs to be emphasized because people think, I'm going to vote blue and I'm going to get myself out of this mess next time. I'm going to vote red and we're going to get out of this mess. It's not that simple. Unless you are researching your candidates to find out where their special interest money is coming from, who they're involved with. If they're involved with George Soros, that right away, mark them no. If they're involved with the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates, right away, I don't care if they're red, blue, green, or yellow, mark them no. You do not want them in office, anywhere near office, because this charade will continue. And I was read an article the other day that Agenda 2030, they were told to speed that process up. Now, I'm not going to tell you what Agenda 2030 is, except for it's the World Economic Forum's plan of you will own nothing and you will be happy. That's where the elites take ownership of everything. And you may ask yourself, well, how could they do that? You want me to tell you how? Inflation. They make everything so freaking expensive that you have to start making choices on whether you buy a can of food for $10 to survive for that day or you make a car payment. Oh, my car payment ain't going to change. Yeah, but your food, your gas, everything else is going to change, cost of living. So what do they do to implement that plan? They make you go bankrupt. And then the banks swoop in, and they repossess everything that you own. Your land, well, I can't afford to pay taxes. Well, now it's the government's. I can't afford to pay my car payment. Well, now it's the bank. You will own nothing, and you'll be happy. That's their motto. If you think I'm lying, just go look up Agenda 2030. I think it's even on Google, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, you can find Agenda 2030. You can find the World Economic Forum's website out there. I mean, you don't have to take our word for what they're up to. There's plenty of video clips out there from their conferences where they flat out tell you that all these things that people are dismissing as a conspiracy theory, there they are. These leaders from around the world, literally, there's video of them telling you the same things that we're trying to tell you, but because CNN didn't tell you, you don't believe us. But it's out there. All you got to do is look, really.
Yeah, and that's what kind of frustrates me too, Chris, and I know it does you too. I'll just call them a relative. That when I talk to them, they'll say, I seen it on the news, or I didn't see that on the news. And I'm like, I don't know how many times I've had to tell them, would you please do yourself a favor, quit watching the news. It's not news. It's propaganda. That's all it is. Even the feel-good stories are, some of them are, they're true, but they make you watch the propaganda to get to the feel-good stories. And don't tell me, well, I don't watch the propaganda. But you do. You know the news starts at 6. You don't want to miss your feel-good stories. That doesn't start until 6:20, after they've already fed your mind full of bullshit. That's what the media does now. I haven't watched the news let me rephrase that. I've watched the news once in the last 2 years. The reason I did is I was on my Netflix just scrolling around, just goofing off. I don't really watch TV at all, honestly. But I happened to sit down to watch Netflix. I wanted to just sit and just get my mind off things and watch a funny movie or whatever. So I'm scrolling through Netflix, the beginning homepage, and I find, oh, you get free news on here. And I'm thinking to myself, I haven't watched news for the longest time. I want to get on there. What are they saying right now? Because I've seen headlines here and there, And it was all COVID, 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 death, 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 death. Gaslight, 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 gaslight. Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. You're a dumbass, you're a dumbass, you're a dumbass. Basically what it was. So I clicked on the first news story, and I started watching the news, whatever the hell they had on. And I don't think I got 3 minutes in. And I'm like, that's not true. And then not even 30 seconds later, another thing and another thing and another. I'm like, holy shit, they are fucking pushing this to the American people are watching this, and they're believing this. That none of that is true. And then I started screaming at the TV, like ready to throw my remote control through it. I was 5 minutes in, people. With all the stuff that I've researched and dug up, and then I heard what the news was saying of the stuff, a lot of the stuff that I had already researched, I thought to myself, wow, they really, truly are pushing their propaganda on the American people day after day, night after night, thank you to the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act implemented under Obama. And this isn't against Democrats or Republicans. This is the truth. Whether your guy was involved in it or not doesn't make it less of a truth. Obama is when it happened. A lot of things happened under Obama. And you're going to come back and say, well, what about Trump? What about Trump? There's a lot of things that I didn't agree that Trump did either. So there. I'm talking, in for this conversation, this is when it happened under Obama. What happened under Trump? Well, our borders were pretty secure. And you can ask any Border Patrol agent that. Their jobs are a little bit easier under Trump. Our gas prices were under $2. Our diesel prices were under $2. We had the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, lowest unemployment rate for Hispanics. We had the lowest unemployment rate for 50 freaking years. Our country's economy was thriving. There was some things that we had to go through some hardships with because of policies put in place by previous presidents, and I call them establishment presidents, including Obama, including George Bush, Jr. and Sr., Bill Clinton. I mean, Jesus, you want to dig into some scandals there. Hell, we talked about MENA, Arkansas on a radio show. I don't even know what episode that was, Chris, where Bill Clinton was implicated in a double homicide with two teenagers and illegally trafficked drugs involving the Iran-Contra scandal. I mean, holy shit. That's how deep this is, guys. And when, like, Chris, you mentioned, Operation Mockingbird or whatever? I've got a list, I think, of 200 operations that the military or our government has used. They name every one of them. Operation Northwoods, Mockingbird, the Tuskegee Airmen Experience or the Tuskegee Experiment.
Tuskegee Airmen, MK Ultra, which I feel like MK Ultra is still alive and well. But that's another story.
What is the MK Ultra?
The MK Ultra files, which have been declassified, essentially was a CIA mind control experiment. And again, this isn't conspiracy theory. These are actually declassified files that are out there. And you can look them up and you can read for yourself actual declassified government documents. And I want to say, I think MK Ultra was actually in the 1950s, 1960s. It's been a while. Obviously, they only declassify the stuff that, ended a long time ago in most cases. But they were doing some serious experiments that included they would take these test subjects, volunteers, whatever you want to call them, and they would subject them to hypnosis and some brainwashing and some mind control techniques. And they would actually get some of these people to basically, when they heard a code word or a code phrase, and they'd get a phone call with it or whatever, that they would more or less kind of go into a trance, and they would even do things that they had been ordered to do under hypnosis, where they would actually even go so far as to go to a specified hotel, check into a room under a false name, using a false ID that they had been given, and then they would go up to a room. They would grab, you know, this contraption that seemed to be what any normal person would rationalize as being a bomb, an explosive device with a timer, and then they would actually go to some location they had been specified to go. They would leave this device there. They would arm what was actually a dummy bomb that would never actually go off, but they would go and they would actually set they would arm the device, leave, go back to their room, gather their things, go back home, get the phone call, the trance was over, and they would actually like not remember doing any of that. That was the stuff they released that they had tested with these people to try to use mind control, advanced mind control techniques to get people to do things they would otherwise not do. And these were people that were not intelligence agents. They were not military people. They were just common, normal people that no one would have any reason to suspect or scrutinize. And they would get them to do these extraordinary things, you know, which of course begs the question of, you know, the timing of some of the big mass shootings. But anyway, you know, I'm making a Grand Canyon leap there. But that in essence was what MK Ultra was all about.
You know what? Since we're on this subject, and I feel like talking a little bit more tonight. I'm having a little bit of fun. I'm getting irritated and I'm going off the cuff. Why stop here? Let's be more controversial. I love controversy. So I found something I just researched while you were talking, Chris, while I was listening to you. This is coming from the Elite Daily. This actually lists some of the government's secret operations. And you happened to mention Operation Northwoods here just a little bit ago. So what we're going to do right now, Chris, is I'm going to read these two paragraphs of describing what Operation Northwoods was. And we'll just move right on down the line, and we'll do a couple tonight, and maybe we'll do a couple every Thursday night. And educate the people, and then they can look it up on, you know, through their own sources and really dig into it. At least we're giving them a lead. We're sending them in a direction, because you and I have read a lot of these. I haven't read all of them, but I know about a lot of them. So let's just start with Operation Northwoods. That happened in 1962. That's Operation Northwoods, 1962. Here's what it was. The CIA proposed Operation Northwoods to President John F. Kennedy in 1962. The Cold War was in full effect, and in order for the U.S. to take the upper hand against Cuba, they were forced to do something drastic. The controversial project entailed the U.S. government actually going out and committing a series of violent terror attacks against their own people, from bombings to hijackings, riots, and assassinations. They were ready to dish it all out. But why would the United States commit such heinous crimes against their own people? Well, that's because they wanted to have a good excuse to put all of the blame on Cuba and wage war against the communists. They just needed a good reason. With Fidel Castro in power, they were looking for any way to remove this status. JFK eventually rejected this offer. These plans were released in 1997, and this may just have something to do with his assassination. So, I'm glad I came across this, because now we can have a discussion of what this really was, what this meant for our country, and the implications that it has had for future generations, what it's done to this country. That's your CIA that proposed that, folks. If you think your CIA are the biggest terrorists in the world. They call Al-Qaeda terrorists, and they call this one or that one terrorists. No, CIA are the biggest terrorists in the world. They will do anything to manipulate an election or a world leader. Look at Venezuela. Look at the Iran-Contra scandal. There's many, many things that the CIA has had their hand in to dictate world events. So, Chris, I'm going to give you the floor to let you – I'm going to take a potty break for myself. I'm going to give you the floor to talk about what you know about Operation Earthwoods.
Well, there's two important, you know, takeaways from Operation North. First is the fact that it did not get carried out. It was just a proposed operation, which, as Jeremy pointed out, JFK would not sign off on it and said no, you know, this, I'm not comfortable with this. We can't do that. But the other takeaway from that is that whoever proposed this wild operation, they obviously felt comfortable submitting that as a proposal, which means it begs the question, how many times has the CIA carried out similar operations in order to sway public opinion one way or another? We all know that we've gone to great lengths, the CIA has gone to great lengths in other nations to turn the tide of public opinion against a administration that the CIA wanted out of power so that they could replace it with some of their puppets. So, again, it begs the question, what other operations, what other big news stories of the day over the last, you know, 80 years, what other things that have happened that we all thought were, you know, just this random group of radicals doing something? How many of those were actually, you know, put together by the CIA and carried out? And of course, back when Northwoods was going, obviously we were trying to turn the tide of public opinion against the communists. Obviously, that whole scenario has shifted. It seems like now we're running more of a pro-communist thing. So now you have to wonder, well, how many of these drastic things that we see playing out in the news today might be something that's being orchestrated by the CIA in order to turn the tide of public opinion against capitalism, against small business owners, you know, against our institutions like the local police? You know, are we trying to drum up this hatred of local police so that we can usher in the concept of a federalized police force? And again, I'm just throwing these out there as possibilities of what could be taking place. But there are a lot of inconsistencies and questions surrounding things like the George Floyd incident and others. You know, obviously, Uvalde is a great example, you know, where we had this mass shooting in a school, how tragic, and absolutely it is, but we've got video of cops with SWAT gear and ballistic shields and rifles, all the tactical equipment they needed, standing there for like an hour and 14 minutes, I think, or something like that, not doing anything while the shooter, active shooter, is in there shooting kids. And again, I say this as someone who has ran towards gunfire to save people I didn't even like. By the way, you put a room full of school kids, Hell's Gate could not stand in the way of me barreling into that building to stop whatever evil was happening in there. And anyone who wears a badge that doesn't have that same opinion, take that damn thing off and go work at McDonald's, because you're not in the right damn profession. There's not a commander in the world that should have the ability to tell someone to stand down in that scenario. I can say this with the utmost confidence. If I were in that situation and a commander told me to stand down until we get a full tactical squad here and there's gunshots ringing out inside an elementary school, parental guidance suggested, I would tell that commander to fuck right off. And I would turn around and I would say, I'm going in, whoever's coming with me, because I'm not standing for that. I don't think anyone with any integrity would. So you have to ask, well, what the hell's taking place that these cops stood there, let this mass shooter run his rampage, you know, and then now we have the city of Uvalde obstructing all these information requests that are coming in and trying to get judges to put an injunction in to stop the release of the information that people are requesting. Why? What's going on? Why are we covering that up? Why are we covering up the inaction that seems to be very deliberate of a police force that did nothing while children were being murdered? So once you start digging in and you start seeing the past in our nation, and you start seeing how dirty our government was willing to get its hands to accomplish some political agenda, you have to start looking at today and you have to start questioning how much of what we're seeing is legitimately just bad management and oversight, a crazy random occurrence that couldn't be prevented, and how much of it is actually something orchestrated in order to gain
push an agenda.
You know, how much of it's there just to gain public support for a certain agenda? And that's a question we don't have an answer to right now. But Uvalde is a huge question mark for me. I can't fathom that many police officers would allow one man to tell them to stand there. Oh, what were you saying, Jeremy?
I said 400 police officers. 400 that were standing outside that school.
And none of them had the balls to tell that commander to go fuck himself?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so now I hope you all listen close to what Chris just said, what I just said about Operation Northwoods, about how the CIA manipulates things or they come up with some really fucking sinister plans, guys. This leads me right into Operation Mockingbird, and I know Chris is going to be happy to talk about this one too. Operation Mockingbird was 1951, and this, if you don't think that they'll do this to you, you are fooling yourself. And this one really, like, man, when I think about this current lawsuit going on against the Biden administration, big tech companies, about spreading, under the guise of spreading misinformation, censoring people like me that have been banned everywhere. So Operation Mockingbird, 1951. Americans were being fed tons of propaganda during the 1950s, and this was all thanks to Operation Mockingbird. The CIA conducted mass manipulation of some of the largest press agencies. Everything from the New York Times to Newsweek and even the Time magazine were a part of this. Literally every story or headline they ran was controlled by the CIA. This was, as a result, a heavy influence to the public opinion. However, this operation came to light in the 1960s, and the public realized that they had been duped. So, and I'm just reading two paragraph descriptions of each one of these. And I think what we're going to do is continue to do this every week just to be educational. So you guys, it gives you, you know, we'll maybe do one or two more tonight. And I don't want to overload your brain, but I also want to activate those neurons in your brain where you actually get off your ass and go research this stuff. And forgive me if I said that harshly, but I mean it. You need to. You write this stuff down. Operation Northwoods and Operation Mockingbird. This stuff is all available for you to find out and read up on and educate yourself of what the CIA and the government has been up to for decades, decades and decades. And then equate that to what you see today. Are we witnessing another Operation Mockingbird as we speak with this COVID-19? We all know it's a scam, that the numbers are hugely inflated. What are our children or our grandchildren going to read about in 50 or 60 or 70 years? What operation did they call this one that's been classified? And when they unclassify it, when we're all dead, they're going to say, how could they be so stupid? How could they be so manipulated? Well, we're trying to teach you right now. We're trying to learn you that you're not stupid. You're being played. You're intentionally putting your head in the sand because it makes you makes you uncomfortable. I'm asking you kindly to unbury your head from the sand. Sit down if you have to. Stand up if you want to. Cross your legs. Do what you want to do. Get yourself into a nice, comfortable beanie chair. I don't care, whatever makes you comfortable. Have a beer. Smoke a joint. Do whatever it does that makes you calm. And start researching this stuff so you have that knowledge that you can share to your children and your grandchildren. So for God's sake, we can maybe stop this madness. So, Chris, what are your thoughts on Operation Mockingbird?
Oh, I think we're definitely seeing the re-release. I guess we can call it Operation Mockingbird 2.0. But the one I was referencing, you know, the popular YouTube videos that have been floating around for the last few years involves, oh, gosh, something about, I'm going to say it's like misleading news or misinformation and how it's a threat to our democracy and something like that. It ran a few years ago, and it was literally, when you watch this video, they show clips from all these different quote-unquote local TV news stations talking about it. But they're all obviously reading from the same script because they all say the exact same thing, word for word. And then it just, it by the end of the video, you know, it's showing like, you know, two or three dozen different local news agencies literally saying the same things in sync. And it was done, they did that to show that, yeah, you don't have local news. You have local faces reading from a national script, and they're being told what to say. And so, yeah, Mockingbird 2.0 is definitely alive and well. You can hear the same talking points from your local news station, whether you're in Florence, Kentucky, Des Moines, Iowa, Cleveland, Ohio. It don't matter where you are. The talking points are the same. And as an over-the-road truck driver that has sat down and listened to the evening news in places all around the country, I can assure you the talking points are all the same. They're all on the same script. So, yeah, it's alive and well, and it's here. And I don't see it going away anytime soon. The only light I see at the end of the tunnel, mainstream media viewership is on the decline. And you're seeing the rise of people, you know, you're seeing the rise of the podcast. You're seeing people like Joe Rogan, Tim Pool, you know, and his crew, you know, they're getting more views than CNN. You know, as a matter of fact, I mean, some of your TikTok videos have gotten more views than some of CNN segments. And the reason for that is people are tired of being fed like the same stuff over and over that's obviously scripted. No, the actual trust in mainstream media finally is starting to decline rapidly, and people are just, they're just not watching it anymore. Instead, people are starting to go to YouTube videos and Rumble and all these podcasts over Spotify and various other networks, and they're starting to tune in to people who do something other than read from a billionaire script. And, you know, thank God for that. But that's what's happening. We're seeing that transformation. People are, they're ditching the propaganda machine, and they're watching someone who says something that the propaganda machine isn't controlling. And I think that's right. Only going to get, you know, bigger and bigger because, yeah, obviously CNN hasn't figured it out. I mean, they just, their solution to any problem is, man, people don't like it when we do this. We should double down and do it more.
Yeah.
they scratch their heads. Man, I don't understand why we continue to lose viewers. But
if they would look at the comments under my TikTok videos, they would understand. People say to me all the time, and whenever I make a video about somebody accusing me of this or accusing me of that, a lot of my followers will get on there and say, don't listen to the negativity. We know that you speak the truth. That's what I hear all the time. That there's agitators out there that I am not so sure that they're not paid off by the CIA or the FBI that will get on there to try to cause a reaction out of you to get you banned permanently. So they shut you up. That's how they shut you up. I don't react to
them. I'm telling you, a lot of them aren't even people. And I don't think people realize, and this is kind of what the whole thing with Elon Musk and Twitter is kind of exposing, is that, and maybe I should bring this up. Have you heard of the dead internet theory?
You're talking about programmed bots, right?
Yeah, and what the dead internet theory is basically that somewhere around 2016, the internet as we know it basically died. And what it got replaced with was a mass of tech companies coming in, silencing people on one side of the fence on these issues, right? Silencing conservatives for the most part, conservatives and libertarians. And then in order to bolster the other side, because most of the people are not in line with these radical viewpoints, okay? Believe it or not, most people are not okay with teaching a kindergartner about anal sex, right? And I don't care if you're left-leaning, right-leaning, you know, if you voted Democrat your whole life, if you are a member of the LGBTQIA plus community or whatever, most rational people do not support that. But what they do is they then flood all the left-leaning accounts, all the really radical leftist accounts. They flood them with all these bots, these bot programs. They are AI script, and they can talk to you and be very convincing that they're a human. I'm telling you, if you have ever gone online on social media and argued with someone who just had this radical opinion, I'm telling you, you have argued with a computer because that's what's happening. And they do that to make it look like you're like, oh, my God, like 50% of the country is actually okay with this. And no, in actuality, maybe 10% of the mental patients in this country are okay with it. And the other 40% is a bunch of AI bots running a program arguing with you and supporting this radical Marxist agenda. And that's basically the dead internet theory.
And I kind of believe it. No, I've actually seen videos of how they've got these bot farms, they call them, set up. And people really had to put in effort to get this done the way they do. And that just shows me how corrupt and evil not only are the tech companies, but our governments worldwide. They'll do anything to push their agenda and remain in power and keep on just raping the taxpayer. You're getting in the butt by a 12-inch dildo with no lube that's about a Coke can wide, and they don't care. If you really knew the truth, you'd have a really tough time. I don't even know how to get into it. That's for a whole other show. I do want to get to one more, though, Chris, before we get off here tonight, because I'm actually enjoying these conversations. And because it's educational, not just for me and you, it refreshes our memory, but it's educational for those that had no idea that this was even a thing. But I'm going to get to one now before we sign off for the night, and we'll take a little time to talk about it. I've never heard of this one, and I actually kind of heard about it a little bit, but not extensively. And I think the audience will find this pretty interesting. It's called Acoustic Kitty. They tried this experience in an experiment in 1967. The acoustic kitty is this, in perhaps the most wasteful attempt of obtaining intelligence, the CIA set out to use the common house cat as a master of espionage. The results? Well, just as you would expect. Over $20 million was invested into acoustic kitty, as recording devices were strapped to the felines and even had surgically implanted microphones, antennae, and batteries in their tails. The goal was to release them around the Russian embassy to collect intel. Unfortunately, the first cat that they put into the field was run over by a taxi, and the operation was dropped shortly after. Now, you can't make this shit up, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, and you know what? I read about that years ago.
Yes. Like, that, this is our CIA at work. Now, listen, for every one of those failed projects that they worked on, that they spent your tax dollars on, by the way, for every one of those failed ones, they've got two or three or four or maybe even 10 successful ones that did what exactly what they wanted it to do. They control your mind. You don't think they are. I'm a free thinker. No, you're not. They control your mind. If you watch mainstream media on a nightly basis, that's why we have such a big problem with the boomers. And I call them boomers. It's my mom and dad's age. I love my mom and dad, by the way. I love the boomers too. But my grandma, they watch the news. They keep on saying the news, like zombies. And I told them, you guys seriously got to quit watching the news. It's not news. It's propaganda. So, but the reason I wanted to get to that one is to show you how absolutely insane these people are. They will do anything, and I mean anything, to get what they want. And if you think that they give a shit about your family or your loved ones, this is what I'm talking about, is these COVID-19 shots. Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, all those big companies that miraculously come out with these mRNA jabs in a very short period of time. Operation, what do they call that? Operation Warp Speed, right? That was under Trump. And that was to get these vaccines out. So when people ask me, well, you know, oh, so you're a Trumpster? No, because I have a lot of questions I'd like answered from Trump. Operation Warp Speed is one of them. He was privy to the information, a lot of top secret information as president. I don't feel like he warned the American people enough of what has happened in our country. But then I look back at it, the media sure in hell wasn't his friend. They weren't helping him. And secondly, when he said he was going to drain the swamp, I think to myself, I know how big that swamp is. It's not a swamp. It's an ocean. That's how big it is. It's huge. It branches out. You wouldn't believe how far it branches out. And it's not contained to the United States or Canada. It's a worldwide network of corrupt people that will do anything at all to remain in power, to keep on getting rich and richer and richer and richer off the backs of your hard work. That is a fact. But I really want to hear what Chris's opinion is on Acoustic Kitty, since you said you heard about it. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, that was from the height of the Cold War. The whole purpose of those kitties was they wanted some means of being able to get close enough to people that they knew were mainly Russian agents, Russian spies that were operating over here in the U.S. or wherever. They wanted to be able to get close enough to pick up and record their conversations because, you know, back in the old days, spies really would. I mean, they would meet someone in a park and just sit on a park bench away from people and have a conversation, because obviously we didn't have the type of technology that we do now to zoom in and pick up a conversation, which, by the way, if you're not aware of this, there are drones out there being used by our federal agencies that can go very high up in the air. You can't see them. They can zoom in and read the information on your credit card if you're holding it in your hand in HD quality, and also zoom in with their audio equipment and direct it and actually hear your conversation. Yeah, that's some real shit, believe it or not. But back then, that didn't exist. Yeah, they were taking cats and surgically implanting them, just like you said, surgically implanting them with microphones and trying to kind of train them to basically make their way over close enough to these agents, you know, to pick up their conversations and transmit them, record them, whatever, so that they would know what they were up to. But, you know, that's probably where the term, you know, it's like trying to herd cats came from, because, you know, cats don't give a shit what you want them to do. They really don't. You know, they probably would have had a lot more success with that if they had done acoustic doggies instead of acoustic kitties. You know, but I mean, the extent, and here's another one, and there's nothing particularly, you know, Machiavellian about this, but out at Area 51, when they were developing the SR-71 for a spy plane, they had this thing, they kept it indoors. They knew what Russian satellites were out there taking, you know, pictures around the country of military installations. They kept up with their tracks. So basically, they knew when a certain facility was able to be photographed by a Russian satellite. And so what they would do was, right, because they had this prototype that the engineers were doing wind tests and various testing on outside on the tarmac, and they had this thing on a platform where they could wheel it in back inside the hangar, and before that Russian satellite came around to where it could take pictures of this installation, they would wheel this thing back inside of the hangar so that when the satellite went over, you know, it wasn't there. And then as soon as they knew the satellite was out of view, you know, they'd pull it back out and they would resume their testing. And what gave it away, the way the Russians found out about the SR-71 was they actually, way back then, actually had advanced thermal detection on one of their satellites. And if you've never looked through a thermal scope, those things, they basically, they detect heat differences and then they magnify them like hundreds of times. And so, like, for example, if you were to walk across the grass and I were to look across that grass through a thermal scope, it would show your footprints going across that grass because of the slight change in temperature that you caused with your footsteps on the grass. Okay, that's how insane it is. And so they took the plane inside the hangar before the Russian satellite came over. But what happened was it was a really hot day, and because of the shadow that it cast on the pavement or the concrete of the tarmac, their thermal scope was actually able to magnify the shadow of that plane on the concrete, because basically the shadow had kept the concrete a little bit cooler than the surrounding concrete that was getting direct sunlight. So that's the kind of level that the intelligence agencies go to in order to gain a little bit of intelligence. And in that case, that provided the Russians with pretty much a diagram of the shape of the SR-71. And so they knew something was up. And of course their engineers were all over it and started kind of analyzing what kind of capabilities they thought something with that aerodynamic design might have. But yeah, that's the kind of links that the intelligence agencies go to. That's not just here, but yes, surgically implanted microphones in cats was a definite experiment that our government played that failed. Like I said, they should have used dogs, you know, because yeah, a good trained dog probably would have would have ran up and tried to lick the agent, you know, as opposed to the cat that was just like, whatever.
Yeah, just leave me alone. Yeah. So that was a good conversation to have had. We kind of wanted to do this for, I don't know, probably the last 30 weeks, I would say, Chris, where we wanted to get into this. This dumpster fire of an administration has prevented us from getting into the stuff that we really wanted to get into. Plus, we've gotten some great guests on. What I'm working on for next week, I'm going to work pretty hard and diligently on it. I want to get truckersfinalmile.org. I want to get one of their representatives on and explain exactly what they do, how they do it, how that operation works, why they do it, all that good stuff. And the reason I want to get them on, well, me and Chris are both truckers. We both travel out of state, and there might be a time where me and Chris, God forbid or God willing, whatever you want to call it, that the good Lord says, Chris, Jeremy, it's time for me to take you home. And we might be down in Kentucky, or we might be down in Iowa, or wherever the hell we're at. The good Lord might call us home. We pass away in our truck, and our families need to get us home, and they don't have the money to get us home. They can contact truckersfinalmile.org, and that organization, through your donations, will get these truckers home. They get in contact with the funeral homes that can transfer the body from one state to the next state or however it works to get you to where your home is so you can be properly laid to rest. Recently, a TikToker by the name of Pissed Off Trucker, and you probably heard this on the last show, he died in an accident in western Kansas. What I'm hearing now is that he went to avoid an accident and ended up going through two fences and wrecked his truck and passed away from that. I don't know what the real story is. The bottom line is his name was Stephen Raleigh. He was from Alabama. He passed away, unfortunately, on the road in western Kansas. So as you can imagine, now his family has to deal with his loss. Unexpected loss, by the way. He was on his way home. He was married. He had children. His son was set to get married in October. He was very proud of his son and his new daughter-in-law. And he was one of the unfortunate ones that lost his life out here on America's roads as a truck driver. When his family contacted truckersfinalmile.org, and I helped with a media blitz, social media blitz. And it wasn't just me. This was hundreds and maybe even thousands of drivers pushing for people to go and donate to truckersfinalmile.org to help that organization get Stephen Raleigh's body back to his family so they could have a proper a burial and mourn the loss of their husband and father and friend. And I'm very happy to say, out of all of this, he did arrive back home because of Trucker's Final Mile and because of you guys. And he is set to be laid to rest this Saturday. And it's very important that we don't stop donating just because, well, we got Stephen home. I believe they helped, I want to say, 400 or 500 or 600 drivers get back to their home states or their hometowns or wherever they were needing to go in the last year alone, or it could be since they started the organization. I don't remember that's why I want to get them on so they can explain to you. So that organization again is truckersfinalmile.org. It is very near and dear to my heart. It has been since I found out about them two, three years when I found out about them. And I myself fail miserably sometimes at getting that word out there. As a person with a very large social media following, I need to remember that organizations like that need guys like me to step up and promote them a little bit on occasion to help them with their donations. So what I did is my birthday is coming up on Tuesday. I made on Facebook, I made a donation, or you can donate to Trucker's Final Mile. You can pick a charity to donate to. Mine was Trucker's Final Mile. So far, I've had three friends that have donated $50 apiece. So we're up to $150 on that promotion. I know that they received a lot of donations because of Pissed Off Trucker's death, and that's great that they got those donations, but it can't stop there. There's the average Joe Blow out there that drives truck that doesn't have a social media following, that, you know, is just out there trying to support his family. And this organization helps get that trucker back to his family by paying for the transport from where he passed away or she passed away back home. So it's a very great organization. It's a completely nonprofit. If you go to their website, truckersfinalmile.org, you will see how absolutely transparent they are with everything, how easy it is to donate, and you'll get their mission statement, all that good stuff. They're very, very, very fine people, and it's a very, very fine organization, and I encourage everyone to go check them out. So I'm hoping to get them on next week, and hopefully we can, and you can hear straight up from them from them themselves, and make you hopefully make you feel better about where your money's going. I know a lot of people are so tired of scammers and people that are just trying to rip people off, and truckersfinalmile.org is not one of those people. I can vouch for that personally. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, like I said earlier in the show, I think what we'll do is we'll run through two or three of these secret government operations that have now been unclassified every week and talk about it a little bit. Depending on, you know, if we have a guest like next week, if we have Trucker's Final Mile come on, we're going to give them, you know, at least the first hour to talk about, you know, whatever they got going on. And if it takes 2 hours, then that's what it will take. But we will get back to these secret government operations. I think it's important to educate the public so they can, you know, make the comparison of what's going on in our world today. Is the CIA capable of doing that to us? And they absolutely are. So on that note, Chris, is there anything that you'd like to say before we finish up?
Does anyone know where I could buy one of these acoustic kitties? I'm just wondering, asking for a friend.
Oh, you jackass. Yeah, to do that right before we get off the show and make me cough. Okay. Good one, you dick. All right, guys. You have to pardon my hacking. That one was funny. Anyway, thank you guys all for listening. We appreciate your listening. And when you see us on social media, help us out by sharing us out to your friends and family. Let them know what we're up to, how we're trying to educate people, and we'll try to keep the guest list coming on. Hopefully it gets more and more interesting. I know we had a candidate for Congress here in Minnesota on a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, a very good conversation and very interesting. And hopefully next week, like I said, we'll get Trucker's Final Mile on here, and we continue on with the guests, and they just keep on piling up. That's what we're looking for. So please share us out. And again, thank you for your continued support. We can't do this without you guys. So on that note, you guys all have a great night. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. God bless each and every one of you. That's the Shit Show, signing off.